You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Mujica, I am Greg Sussman. Wall Street looking very comfortable today. Very, very comfortable. Corey Parson, what's happening?
Hey, what's the deal, Mr. Sussman? How's everything going this morning?
Everything's doing all right, man. Everything's going all right. Last night wasn't the result we were hoping for, but it's okay.
No, I definitely did not want the Atlanta Falcons to pull that off. Tampa Bay did fight as much as they can, but Atlanta went and got that W, so I need them to lose the next two games. But as far as myself personally goes, going into week 16, so here we go right here, the finale of the
championship
season.
Week.
There you go right there. So looking forward to it. Got two teams in the mix. Got a pretty decent bag on the line, too, so let's get it done.
Aguayo would have made that kick.
Yeah.
He probably would not have made that kick. He probably would not have made that kick. You know, it's funny because they were just so unprepared for that kick. It's just like, oh, 14 seconds. Oh, that's in the field goal. You know, let's send the kicker out there. And the lineman not being able to get the ball placed, it became like a 57-yarder, and there was no way Patrick Murray was going to hit that. And didn't.
No, it wasn't even close. I mean, you knew, like you said, you knew that was not going to happen. And look, Tampa Bay did everything to lose that game, pretty much. You can't fumble inside the five, penalties. It's just a sloppy team. I don't know how the GM got re-upped.
I'm starting to think it's Dirk. Dirk is probably a better OC than he is a head coach.
Yeah, I agree. There's no reason to have Dirk back next year. Although, like, listen, Tampa Bay got absolutely like crushed with injuries last night.
Yeah, they did.
And they were still there. Jameis played well.
Jameis did play well. I will say that. Jameis was moving in the pocket nice. You know, and he got the ball to Mike Evans. Mike Evans got called on a couple of pass interference penalties, which he is known to get called for.
Exactly.
But, you know, he threw it to him in the end zone. That was a nice catch to the touchdown. We know fantasy phenom Mike Florio will be in the Super Bowl now.
We do know that. I was talking to Michael last night, so he's very, very happy with where he is at.
He's going to Super Bowl versus Jake, right?
He is. He is going to Super Bowl.
He's the last Jedi.
he is indeed. Last night you saw a lot from Atlanta. We're going to get into this game to start off the show, Tampa Bay Atlanta, and after that we'll go YouTube Live. We'll talk about some of the major headlines, and of course begin championship week. That's what this is. This is the championship week. This is the finale of fantasy football here. That's it. It's over.
I know.
You seem upset.
What am I going to do now?
I don't know. That's kind of the problem. You have 2 hours every day to figure that out.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well, we can talk plenty of baseball.
I'm looking forward to
it. I don't know
that.
If that was a we. It was more of a me type of thing. But yeah, so last night, you had Atlanta with a fast start. And once again, it was like, it was what you hate about offensive coordinators, right? Like, you hate when they just get to this lead and they slow it down. When they just, you know, like, all right, we're good. This is enough, and just bog it down like Julio Jones not catching a pass in the second half. We'll talk about that. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, go over it in depth. We do it all when we return on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Plan daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Brought Brent, last night, I know a lot of people around this table were really hoping the Bucks would come away with the upset.
Yeah.
Mainly this side of the table.
Yeah. Well, why did you want them to get the upset?
A couple of reasons. One, I bet on the Packers to win the Super Bowl at 80-1.
Okay.
And I was hoping that bet would, you know, be successful.
Okay.
And second of all, I want Aaron Rodgers to play on Saturday. And it seems more and more likely now that they are officially eliminated that he will.
Not.
That he, it seems more unlikely that he will.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Because of, you know, he's just not 100%. And there's no reason to throw him out there. Also, Devontae Adams, no reason to throw him out there either. It's a meaningless game. So it was a bad night for me last night.
I got Stafford sitting against, getting ready to take on the Bengals.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, I have Blake Bortles against the Niners.
Yeah.
Like, I'm prepared for this. I just prefer to have Aaron Rodgers than Blake Bortles. It seems, you know, quite simple.
Yeah, the one thing, though, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm holding out hope because Atlanta's got to play at New Orleans and at Carolina. So those are two tough. Yeah. You're going up against two 10-4 teams, you know. So.
Is that New Orleans this weekend?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh, I think both are on the road.
All right, that's good. We'll take that. My opponent, so listen to this. My opponent next week, I'll get into this throughout the show, of course, and throughout the week. My opponent has Devontae Freeman and Mark Ingram in the same game against each other. And Mohamed Sanu all in that game. It's very. And I have Julio Jones. It's like the biggest game of our lives.
Yeah, wow. Y'all should go to the game.
or I'll go to our couch.
Yeah, you know, that's good,
that
too.
That works, dude. Well. Have a much cheaper beer.
Yo, not about it.
And, yeah, so that'll be it. Or whatever. All right, so Atlanta defeated Tampa Bay last night, 24-21. And we had a lot of questions last week, gentlemen, about if we're going to start Matt Ryan, do you start Matt Ryan? A lot of Matt Ryan questions. And he kind of did what he always does. 212, touchdown, and just not much going on.
Not much to be inspired about, but solid game from Matt Ryan.
This
is
fine.
This is Matt Ryan's MO. This is the way he plays the game, so that's kind of what you got to look for. Obviously, you're going to take what the defense give him. They didn't really push tempo. When Freeman's running well like that, it's really no, especially against lesser competition, it's no reason to air it all out when you got these next two big matchups coming up.
Yeah, you know, I guess so, but it was just an utterly uninspiring performance.
It was, and there's a lot of Matt Ryan running on that one series. He seemed to be taken off constantly. I mean, it's pretty much what you said. It's lesser competition. The Bucks, you know, the defense wasn't good to begin with. They had multiple injuries on that. And Atlanta had their way, but it was a game they could have easily lost.
Yeah, you know, it was a game that he could have lost, which is pathetic, where you should be destroying a team like Tampa Bay, who's 4-10 now on the season. Devontae Freeman was the best player on the field last night, rushed 22 times for 126 yards, and he was running so freaking hard in these monstrous holes against Tampa
Devontae
Bay.
Devontae Freeman run like he's supposed to be playing in the AFC North. When he hits you, when you make contact with him,
you go backwards.
And you hear it.
Yeah.
It's very, I was like, oh, what happened? I'm looking at the, like, you turn away from the TV and you hear that impact and you're like, Freeman must have the ball.
Yeah.
Hey, that dude runs like a madman. They said during the game about the three concussions over the last two seasons, and he was like, I'm not changing nothing.
You know what's interesting? So without Tevin Coleman, we look at Devontae Freeman, right, in both these games, and he's been awesome. I mean, he's been absolutely awesome. Last night, 22 for 126. I get it. The holes are wide open. Whenever Tyron Ward was in there also, he had 8 for 40. So, like, there was plenty of room for him to operate last night. But the difference is, when Devontae Freeman was out, Corey, Tevin Coleman didn't look like this. He didn't look at running as hard
or violent. He's not a better player. No. Devontae Freeman's a better player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coleman's a nice piece.
Yes.
Devontae Freeman is a workhorse running back.
He is.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's awesome. And this is the dude that I believe is, what, like the third running back off the board this year. This is the guy that I wanted to draft, and he's giving it to you at the best time of the year. 126 yards, as I said, on the ground with a touchdown. He also led this team in receiving with 68 yards through the air on 5 catches with 7 targets. His hand was, the ball was in his hands all night long, and that's a recipe for success for the Falcons, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Falcons had it their way. You want to see Julio more involved. They did make a couple of attempts to get him the ball, but it seemed like every time they even threw to him in the red zone, it wasn't even close. So, I mean, as a Julio owner, you're going to walk away unhappy. And you, like I said, watching a Julio game is always tough because every time he's going to the sidelines after like almost every other play, which is a shame. I mean, because I think this guy is still, if not, he's still in that class with an Antonio Brown. He might not put up the numbers Antonio Brown puts up, but and DeAndre Hopkins is if he got targeted every game, 16 targets, I think you'd see it. So, but can he his body hold up?
And that's exactly the point I wanted to bring up. So you say he's like the Antonio Brown to DeAndre Hopkins. Last night led the team in targets with 8, 3 for 54. I don't believe he caught a pass in the second half. And the difference is between these guys, and you said it at the end of that, Matt. His body can't hold up. His body cannot handle the 15 targets a game that DeAndre Hopkins can. Seemingly, every time he catches the ball and goes down, Corey, he limps off. And, like, he's fine. The trainers don't come over to him. They don't talk to him. He kind of just stands there. But his body cannot handle it. We've laughed and joked about Alshon Jeffrey being a tight end. And because of all of these foot injuries that Julio Jones has suffered throughout his years, he looks like a brittle dude. I mean, he's a big guy. He's athletic. He is strong. But every time that he gets hit, you are nervous about him getting back up.
No doubt about it. I mean, his body is starting to betray him. We knew that coming into the season. He was able to hold up through the whole season, but he did not have the kind of season you expect Julio Jones to have.
Listen, it's funny.
We have to seriously start considering Julio Jones as a back of the first round, second round player. He's not a top five fantasy pick. The guy is beat up.
He's extremely beat up. And it's funny because you look at the numbers this year on draft day. You're going to forget everything, right? You're just going to dive into the numbers as we do. You're going to see 76 catches at this moment for 15 weeks. 76 catches for 1,215 yards, 1,215 yards, and 3 touchdowns. People are going to look at that and be like, that is major positive touchdown regression coming. The receptions will be, by the time he's all said and done this year, it'll be relatively close to 90 probably. He'll be 1,400 or so yards, give or take a little bit. And touchdown regression's coming. You're going to be like, wow. This is an awesome year from Julio. The touchdowns will be back. I'm going to grab him early in the first round. And you're not going to use the eye test that we're talking about today, where if you watched him in week 15 of this year, this is not the same guy at 28 years old, he'll be 29 next year, that we saw a few years ago.
It's not. And I'm one of the biggest Julio guys, but for me, I agree. He's more towards that back of the first round now. You know, you have, say, a handful of running backs. You have AB. You have Nuke. Odell fully healthy.
Yeah, no doubt. Him. But so Odell's going to be in a new offense, so you never know.
Yeah, I do agree with that, Corey. I do want to see who's quarterback in the Giants next year.
Who's coaching the Giants as well?
But Odell is that like
super duper
talent.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
You know, you saw it when he came back. If he doesn't get hurt, he would have been up there.
Of course. Let me ask you this:
and scored a touchdown.
Josh Gordon. As a member of the 49ers, or Julio Jones.
I'm probably going Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's a great landing spot. Is that a rumor, or is that you?
It hit me last night as I was laying in the executive suite. I was like, wow. The new executive suite. Josh Gordon and Jimmy G.
That'd be like ain't nothing but a G thing, baby.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we got it.
We're in. We're gonna push that hard.
We need to tweet at somebody about this.
At John Lynch.
Yeah. Ain't nothing but a G thing.
At John Lynch for that one. That's a no brainer. That's a great landing spot. And listen, the name value of Julio Jones is going to push him up. The numbers, when you look at them, are going to push him up. I want to remember this conversation the day after Week 15 ended, how we all felt. Julio Jones has scored a touchdown. I want to make this clear. Julio Jones has scored a touchdown in 2 games this year. 2 games.
That's crazy.
He has scored a touchdown.
I tell you this, though. If I'm on the turn and I can get a combination, say, with pick 12, hypothetically, say Freeman fell there, or even a Michael Thomas, get one of those two guys and pair them with a Julio, or even a Josh Gordon. And a Julio?
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are going to be there.
Because then you can protect yourself from when Julio has these games. One thing I will say about Julio next year, on the optimistic side, Matt Ryan, second year in the offense. Matt Ryan.
If Sarkisian's back.
Yeah, exactly. If he's back, Matt Ryan, second year in the offense. Matt Ryan is excellent. Every time he changes coordinator, that first year is slow. That second year, he has a big season. So Matt Ryan in the second year in the offense could be better. I would invest in Matt Ryan next season.
I'm fine with that. I don't think I want to go back to Julio Jones. He is not
scared of the injuries, or you just don't like the production.
He looks brittle. He just every time he gets hit, he limps off. Every single time. I've owned him all year. He hasn't missed a game all season long, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But as somebody that has owned him this year, I am petrified every time he gets hit. I know you have to be also, because you have a lot of money invested in this guy.
It's like I said, it's tough, and that's why you have to diverse. That's why I had the argument earlier in the year about
what argument it was.
I wanted Julio, but I wanted Odell as well.
You're not my father. What are you, my father?
Outside of Devontae Freeman, Julio did lead the team in receiving. He only had 54 yards. Clearly, Matt Ryan didn't have his best game. The rest of the team, Justin Hardy, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, none of them do anything. I did find out, which I didn't know, Corey, that Teron Ward, TJ Ward's little brother. I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I found that out last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Jameis, though, he comes through in a monster way for you in the fantasy final, in the fantasy semifinals. 299-3 without an interception. A really, really good day for Jameis Winston.
Yeah, settled in, locked in. He did well.
We'll talk more about this game in a little bit. But when we come back, I want to turn our attention to YouTube Live and what's going on in New England. Your guy, Rex Burkett, and how we react. New England Patriots next on YouTube here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
My name is Greg Sussman, and you're looking inside Studio 34 to the Roto Experts program. This right here is fantasy executive Corey Parson drinking an orange juice.
Bam.
That right there, drinking a coffee, is Wall Street Matt Modica. And welcome to Championship Week here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Three of us all playing in championships, just how it should be. Our fourth compadre, who you'll hear from in a little bit, the King, Scott Engel, he's playing a couple championships as well. A lot of money on the line at this table.
I'm happy to take for it down. Scott. I was... obviously, a full off season of working with Scott
worked. Paid
it's,
off.
It's paid off. We've gotten Scott back to his championship caliber. I'll be acting for a raise.
This is it. Listen, you told him all year, where are your chips? He's there.
He's there. He's got a chance to bring him home now. So, very proud of him. But it was long. You know, it was hard. I'm not going to say
he's stubborn. He's very stubborn.
You know,
sometimes things get through.
Working with him throughout the course of the off season. You know what I'm saying? It actually paid off for Scott. We've seen him come down off those Seattle running backs. I had to keep hammering that point to him. It was mornings where I had to yell at Scott very passionately. It's not because, you know, it's tough love. That's what it is. It's tough love. You feel what I'm saying?
But I got to say, I'm excited to see the King splash the pot. I want to see him win this week, take it all down in the GST.
No doubt.
I'm rooting for you, King.
We're all rooting for you. We'll talk to you coming up in just a few moments from now. Matt, one of your favorite players all year long has been Rex Burkhead. And unfortunately, for championship week in your fantasy finals, you're not going to have Rex Burkhead available for you.
Yeah, I mean, that game was kind of depressing for me. I mean, I watched Antonio Brown go down. Mm-hmm. I had him in that overall. Burkhead, I have everywhere. I had him in a bunch of lineups. Once he went down, I was like, uh-oh, he ain't getting up. So, look, it's Deion Lewis. That's the guy you want to have. That's the guy you want to roll out. I know some people are going to say Mike Gillisley, put him in there. That would be the most Belichick thing to do, though.
Yeah, it would
be. You could see him going up against his old team and having, like, six rushes for like 12 yards and three touchdowns.
It definitely could happen. If I'm a Deion Lewis owner, though, I do want to get him in my lineup this week. I think it's a good opportunity for him. Obviously, the Patriot running back situation is something that we have to deal with at time to time throughout the course of the fantasy season. Very unpredictable, but I think we do see a clear opportunity for Deion Lewis to step in to be that guy. I don't think he can be outside your top 24 this week, Deion Lewis. I think he's a start, Matt.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I really like him this week. You have to. The matchup is there for him. And as long as Belichick lets him get the goal line carries, you know, then he's an RB1, or at least borderline RB1 that point. Because, I mean, he's running the ball really well. He's getting that, you know, 13 to 15 carries every week. He's being productive with that. But he was getting taken out once they got to the goal line. But there's no more Burkhead, so...
You know, it's very interesting here because you both kind of said it right. Rex Burkhead is out. Deion Lewis, a guy you're going to must start, throw into your lineup. He's been basically their workhorse back. There's a chance he gets the goal line back. We trust Deion Lewis here this week. But Matt, what you're saying about Mike Hillisley rings so true. He's going to come off the scrap heap and going to play the exact role of a Rex Burkhead, where Deion Lewis brings him down to the one, and here comes Mike Hillisley plowing in for the touchdown. He's going to wind up with four touchdowns this week, and we're all going to sit here in the fantasy finals being like, are you kidding me? With that being said, we've talked a lot the last 2 weeks about cojones. Do you have them to start Mike Hillisley?
I personally don't, but I'm sure there's going to be somebody that's going to start him, put him in a flex, and they're going to win a championship.
If you do that, if you tweet me a lineup with Mike Gillisley in your lineup, you win the championship, and Mike Gillisley scored four touchdowns. I'll drink Ted Finn water.
That's gross. I don't think you should do that. That's very gross.
Mike Gillisley not scoring four touchdowns.
Probably not.
Ted Finn just swimmed up to the top of the bowl.
Yeah, he's hungry.
Give him a little something.
Just give him a fed.
Okay,
him.
All right, good.
Yeah, he's good. Mike Gillisley's probably not scoring four touchdowns, but maybe he'll score two.
Who you going to play him?
I didn't say me. I just said somebody
it's
might.
It's a foolish idea to put Mike Gillisley in your lineup.
People are going to be concerned.
Unless we find out something more concrete as we go through the course of the week leading up to game day. I understand you wanting to go pick him up. I can see that if you have the roster real estate. Obviously, there's only two teams on the wire this time of year. I'm just saying, playing Mike Gillisley, you are very brave.
See, the thing where I do believe he'll probably get reinserted in that goal line role is Belichick wants to keep Deion Lewis fresh, and it's working right now. Lewis looks good. You want him for the playoffs. And if Gillisley can, you know, just get that cleanup work and just pound it home, I mean, I'm not starting him. But, you know, if you have, like, a draft champions and you had Mike Gillisley there.
Yeah, this that's is, a situation where you can be like, oh, yeah, okay.
That's the only way you're looking. Like, oh, okay, maybe he gets a couple touchdowns.
But, mm-hmm. But other than that.
Yeah, I'm not brave enough to
start. Cross your fingers, Jack.
Maybe so. But the one running back we haven't really mentioned here in regards to Mike Gillisley, Deion Lewis, is James White. How does the Rex Burkhead injury, Corey, change things for James White?
I think you can see James White get some more action coming out of the backfield in certain situations. Maybe he'll get a couple drives where, you know, he'll get a few more carries. But really what you like about Jimmy White is what he can do catching the football out of the backfield. The goal line work is not going to be there. I think Jimmy White is a tough start this week also, but I would start him before I start Mike Gillisley.
He would, because you don't think we've got-
I don't want to. The only ones I want to start is Deion Lewis.
The only that's one it. The only one you want
that's
to start.
The only one that's going into a starting lineup of mine would be Deion Lewis. That's the way it stands on Tuesday morning.
Before Rex Burkhead was your guy, Matt Modiga, James White was your guy. You drafted him in a lot of places. You were excited about him. You started him for a while until you could start him no more. I wound up starting him over Joe Mixon a while ago, which was a mistake, oddly enough. And that was when I realized, okay, this dude is dead now. James White, what do you think of him this weekend without Rex Burkhead?
It's really a tough start. I don't know where he falls, which is a shame because he was one of those PPR backs that, as you said, I loved, and he was getting it done. I think if Hogan doesn't start, if Hogan don't dress, then you have a chance to play him. But if Hogan's there, I really don't see how you can put him in the lineup. And even with Hogan out, he's more of, you know, you're just hoping that he's going to catch a half a dozen balls.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that James White becomes a really interesting option if you lost an Antonio Brown, you lost a Devontae Adams. Without Chris Hogan, without Rex Burkhead, they're going to throw to this guy.
Yeah, if you're in a 12-team league where you have the extra wide receiver and that third flex, boy, you better have like Le'Veon Bell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Todd Gurley on your team before you go to that level. Of running back, because that's too risky for this week. You don't want it all to come on a call made by Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick don't care about
No, of course he doesn't care.
Bill Belichick wants you to lose.
That's why we're talking about Mike Gillisley here. That's why that name has come up to us in week 16. And it's funny because We had this conversation so many times in the offseason. Gillisley versus Burkhead. They both get the same amount of money. They gave the draft pick up to Buffalo to get Gillisley. You as a Bills fan is like, what are we doing? Not matching this. We know this guy's going to kill us. And the first couple of weeks, he did. I mean, he was everything you expected him to be until he got in the doghouse, and that was it.
Yeah, once he got in the doghouse and Burkhead got healthy, he was done. He's been inactive for weeks. But like I said, this is the most Belichickian thing to do. I'm hoping that Rocky Marciano returns this weekend and gives us one last great fight. Because I can use him.
Go get him, Rock!
I don't got AB this week, so I'm good.
We don't, you know, I'm
oh,
good.
Oh, you're part of
Rocky, 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 Rocky. Rocky Marciano comes staggering out there to make America great again.
I'm good on Chris Hogan not playing this week. That really works out quite well for me. If he could stay on the bench there. But yeah, no Rex Burkhead, no Chris Hogan. The New England Patriots are a really interesting offense to watch in the biggest game Buffalo's season in like 17 years.
Yeah, I don't want to show.
Where's the game at?
It's in New England.
Oh, I wanted Bills Mafia to be out there wilding this weekend.
Slaying women on tables.
Yeah, setting people
they
on fire.
They might be there anyway. They might go to Buffalo anyways.
Do that. Go to Bills Mafia. Go up to New England and go set somebody on fire up there.
Yeah.
Why do they like to do that?
Like, you know, they're pent up all week. It's cold. Yeah, it's dark.
They finally get outside. Like, you know what? Slam me on a table, but first, set the table on fire.
It's like, yeah, this is a fantastic idea. I am interested in doing that.
Yes.
I am interested.
And alcohol. Yeah. Alcohol make you do crazy
and
things.
And the Bills fan is like, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
I can get that.
Yeah, I
Please
can do that.
Powerbomb me through a burning table.
Seriously, how much alcohol do you have to drink to say, this is a good idea?
Yo.
Or how many wrestling videos do you have to watch?
Yeah.
They also get busy in that parking lot.
No, I'm kidding. You can get your booty ate in Buffalo. I've seen it on several occasions. They tape it too. I'm like, what's going on?
Were you interested?
No. Yeah. They got some nice co-eds, the Bills, though.
Yeah, every team does.
I went to, specifically the Bills.
When you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like Game of Thrones, like the people beyond the wall, the free folk.
They're the wildlings. The Bills fan, those mafias, the wildlings.
Yeah.
You don't get that joke, but it's funny.
I understand what you mean. That's the Buffalo Bills. They have nice co-eds. When I went to the Jet game, I was like, oh, wow, the Bills got nice co-eds.
It's funny you're at a Jet game.
I know. Yeah, I know.
You didn't last all game. You're at
no,
the
we
Jet
didn't.
I love that week.
No, really. We did not last all game.
What's really his fault?
It wasn't my fault. I was chilling. I went to watch the football game, and then next thing you know, Bills Mafia. I just set a lineup for my championship versus Steve Gallo from the huddle, playing him in the flex, and I just look at this, and my running backs are Kareem Hunt.
It doesn't seem to be to be New England running back related, does it?
I have a New England running back on my team,
okay.
But I just want to say that I set a lineup this morning for week 16.
Right.
My running backs, Kareem Hunt and Ezekiel Elliott.
Must feel nice.
It feels nice to put my...
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the morning where we like to bring in the man we are rooting for this weekend to take home the GST, the expert league we are all a part of. Everybody at this table was a part of. And only one of us are in the finals. And it's a good buddy, the King, Scott Angle, who joins us right now. What's going on, King?
How are you this morning, Greg? Looking forward to that. Already won one Fantasy Super Bowl and looking forward to two more this week.
Wait, you won a Fantasy Super Bowl? It's not even week 16 yet.
In the Scott Fishbowl, the league championship is in week 15.
But isn't there an overall in week 16?
Yes, but I'm talking about the league. You're at the individual league.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count then. I mean, not,
yes, it does. You win your individual 12-team league. That counts for something.
I'm going to ask Corey. He's sitting next to me. If you won your league in Scott's Fishbowl in Week 15, do you count that as a championship?
Yeah, I would count it as a championship.
It's
a championship of a 12-team league.
All right, Scott, congratulations then.
Congratulations, Scott. Obviously,
Even if you disagree, Greg, it's how I see it, not how you see it.
No,
but thank you,
Scott.
Corey.
Scott, I want to
say how I see it. So.
Yeah, you've been a tremendous student this year. The hard work that we did throughout the course of draft season, getting you back in the championship form. I want to thank you for listening and learning, and allowing me to get you back to where you need to be, Scott. I'm very proud of you this morning. So, definitely a good sign for the King. It was some long, hard days sitting here, you know, over the summer these mornings, you know, having to chastise you to get you back in order. But tough love, Scotty. It was tough love, and I know you're glad it paid off.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun watching you teach me what I once taught you. Because when I first met you, you were starting Tywan Jones in your lineup. But it looks like I'm going to have to teach you because you haven't made the playoffs in the league in each of the year and have an 8-18 combined record. So there's going to be a lot of long and hard nights for you next summer.
That's GST is one league, Scott. I'm still playing in Week 16.
It's the only league that I'm in with you.
You're right.
But I wish you good luck in both of your leagues. And, you know, that's all I can say. But as far as teaching me, you told me to draft Isaiah Crowell in the second round, so I learned by not listening to you.
Good job, Scotty. How's Eddie Lacy working for you?
He's working fine. How many championships did you win with Jameis Winston?
Is Eddie Lacy still on the Seahawks, or is he cut? For a serious question.
He still wears a uniform.
He still wears a uniform. Okay, I really wasn't
But not that it matters.
Was Thomas Ross still on the team?
Yes, he was wearing a jacket last week.
I feel like I think I dreamed, honestly, that both of them got cut. Because I had this like vivid memory of reading it.
No, you're probably not dreaming. You were probably just looking forward to the offseason.
Maybe so. Maybe so, Scotty. Hey, so it's Week 16. You have two more championships on the line. I know the GST is a monster one for you because you're going for both the overall and the division and your league. And there's a lot on the line for you here. And you made it there. You have the best team in the league with Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt and Antonio Brown. But losing Antonio Brown is obviously a killer for you. But hopefully you can make up for it.
Yeah, I still have Jarvis Landry. I'm hoping for another good game from Nelson Aguilar. And I'll probably have to roll Paul Richardson out there as my third wide receiver. But the fact that he's going up against the Dallas secondary gives me confidence.
I don't know. I'm not sure it gives you confidence, but like, you know, a little bit like, all right, maybe you can do something. A little hope, maybe.
I would say I'm confident in it. I think it's a good matchup for the Seattle offense, and they'll bounce back.
You're confident in Paul Richardson? Come on, Scotty.
As a wide receiver three,
Apparently he hasn't learned.
Come on. What has Paul Richardson done that you're confident in him?
It's Russell Wilson against the Dallas secondary. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
If Joe Mixon plays, would you rather play him?
I can't. I have to start three wide receivers. I can't start Mixon over Richardson. Richardson has to be my third wide receiver.
That's not true. Oh, Nelson Aguilar, Jarvis Land. I see what your problem is. See what your problem. I'm looking at your team now, obviously, and I see what the issue is here.
Right. My only other option is Kelvin Benjamin. Really,
you're not gonna do that. Wow, you have a lot of good tight end choices too.
Yeah, I might roll Graham. Graham in one tight end and Olsen in the flex.
All right. I like what you're doing. I like what you're thinking, Scotty. And you got Jesse James out there, too, against Houston on Monday. So a lot of options for you.
That's something to consider, too, because if you look at Graham recently, it's, you know, the touchdowns do account for a lot, but he's so touchdown dependent. You know, the yardage and the receptions aren't there. I think the ankle's been a lingering issue for throughout the season. He's really not much of a factor outside the red zone.
No, I'm with you. Hey, so not everybody has their pickups locked, and they have the ability to potentially make a pickup for Week 16. I know you don't always make pickups for Week 16 and immediately throw them into your lineup, but there are some cases with some of these injuries that we have suffered through the last couple of weeks. You may need to pick someone up and start him here in Week 16. So I wanted to throw in a couple of names at you that was written about by our guy Joe Galina over at rotoexperts.com and see if they are a fit for your Week 16 lineup. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right.
Of course.
I want to start at the running back position, the Cardinals running back, Elijah Penny. Now, Elijah Penny is the third man up. AP is on IR. Kerwin Williams suffered a quad injury. Elijah Penny against the Giants is a good matchup. Do you have the cojones, Scotty, to start Elijah Penny in your championship?
No, no tengo cojones para Elijah Penny. Because, you know, you can't just look at the matchup here. It's Elijah Penny. Elijah Penny only got some extensive playing time once early this year and really didn't do anything with it. I can't just look at the matchup. There's no way I can roll him out in my championship week.
Well, like you said, the matchup is good. I know you don't always want to look to that, but it should be a, you know, Bruce Arians wants to give him the carries, you know.
We don't know what he can do with it, though. If you want, as a daily play, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, yeah, I'll use him as a punt, but not in my fantasy Super Bowl. I could probably find at least 30 running backs I like better than him.
But yeah, I guess so. All right, fair enough. That was just an option. Another option that Joe Galina talks about inside his Roto Experts Fab Finds column here this week is with Jacksonville. Listen, we don't know if Leonard Fournette is going to play here. He missed week 15 due to quad and ankle injuries. Of course, Ian Rappaport said we expect Leonard Fournette back. But Yeldon, Ivory, hell, Corey Grant all saw work in week number 15. Do you feel comfortable going to any of these guys in week 16?
No, I don't, because you really don't know which way it's going to go with either one of them, what the game flow is going to be. You thought you would like them last week, and neither one of them really delivered. But besides, the San Francisco defense has gotten a lot better over the last few weeks. And they held down Murray and Henry last week. This duo isn't much better.
Speaking of that 49ers defense, potentially the top waiver wire ad at wide receiver is also from Jacksonville. And that is wide receiver Keelan Cole. Listen, Marquise Lee has an ankle injury that very likely will keep him out of Sunday's game. We have no word on whether Allen Hurns will return on Sunday. If that's the case, the wide receivers for Jacksonville this week will be Keelan Cole and DeeDee Westbrook. It was Cole that went off for 7 for like 186 last week for Jacksonville. He's had a nice year returning the football for the Jags, and ultimately could be the number one wide receiver this week against San Francisco in a matchup where a lot of people are going to start Blake Bortles in their fantasy championship game, potentially even including yourself. So, with all that being said, would you and could you pick up Keelan Cole and throw him into your starting lineup?
I think you can if you lost Antonio Brown. I'm not going to say it's not a risk, though, because when a guy like that has like a 2+ game run like he does, when the other team watches game film, they're going to say, okay, we have to stop Keelan Cole. You know, he's making a lot of big plays, and that could lead to Westbrook being more open. But, you know, sometimes it works that way in the NFL. But look, if you're desperate, he's certainly worth a shot. So, yes. Yes, tengo los cojones para Keelan Cole.
So Keelan Cole is somebody that you feel comfortable going with, but is a potential pickup and somebody you could start. Would you rather start? I know this is a hypothetical at the moment, but do you feel more comfortable starting a Keelan Cole this week or a Randall Cobb, assuming that Rodgers plays and Adams does not?
Well, I can't assume that Rodgers plays.
But I'm asking you to assume.
If he does, well, with all due respect, I'm not going to, because I don't know what's going to happen. But if Rodgers plays, I would go with Cobb.
So with all due respect, you just answered my question anyway.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But I don't agree with the way you phrase your question.
You don't agree with me phrasing that if Rodgers plays and Adams doesn't?
No, what you're saying is assuming, and I can't assume.
But you just answered the question anyway, so you did assume.
All right, whatever. I'm an editor. It's what I do. If you would have put that in a Roto Experts article to me, I would have added the assume word out.
I didn't say assume. I said hypothetically.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so you would play Cobb?
I stand edited then.
Fair enough. So would you play Cobb?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Okay. Even against Minnesota's defense?
It's Aaron Rodgers, though. I'm still going to go with Cobb.
Okay, all right. I get it. We'll see if Rodgers plays.
Second week back, still threw 3 touchdowns last week.
We'll see if Rodgers does play. I expect to see that announcement today or tomorrow. Now that Green Bay is officially eliminated from the playoffs, I just don't get why they would play Rodgers. They have zero to gain. In fact, I'd rather them lose, get a better draft pick. There's nothing to gain by winning anymore. So go sit Aaron Rodgers. Go let Brett Hundley start. Sit Davante Adams. Take care of these guys that have been hurt. There's no reason to play Rodgers.
No, I don't think there is. you know, he didn't look quite like himself in terms of the arm strength last week. And by the way, while on the subject of editing myself, I wouldn't say I'm confident in Paul Richardson.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm optimistic about him this week.
All right. That, I mean, that makes more sense. That makes more sense than confident.
Yeah.
Optimistic about Paul Richardson. I can see where you're going with that, Scotty. Make sure you check out the Fab Finds over at RotoExperts.com. Listen, if there's no Davante Adams, I know Geronimo Allison could be somebody you consider. But against the Vikings, I'm probably going to stay away. Way personally, any interest in starting which Steelers wide receiver? Let me put it that way. Which Steelers wide receiver would you start, Scotty? As we have 30 seconds left, with Antonio Brown out.
Juju Smith-Schuster, more big playability, I think. We haven't seen the big playability from Martavis this year.
All right, so there you go. That's it from the King. We're pulling for him in our GST League. We'll talk to him again tomorrow at the same time. When we come back, we'll talk to Matty Moe, Corey Parson. We'll rejoin the program, talk a little baseball with Matt. Coming up next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. And Matty Miller, I like to use these 5 minutes here before the top of the hour, talk a little baseball with you. That's what I'm going to do right now. Get back into football. Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay, at the top of the hour. And a whole lot of headlines, of course, from yesterday. And your call is coming up in hour number two. So, the latest rumors involve the Kansas City Royals and what they're doing in the free agent market. Listen, I respected what they did last year. One last go-around with this core that they won the World Series with. Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, they did it all. And it seems clear to me that these teams and owners, more so than ever before, are waiting these players out and waiting and waiting and waiting rather than giving the big contracts out immediately. We were told that once Giancarlo Stanton got traded and once Ohtani signed, the markets would open up. They haven't. The top pitchers like Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta, they're both still out there. The top hitters, the J.D. Martinez's, the Eric Hosmer's, they're still out there. So it's clear teams are waiting these players out, and as they wait, it becomes more and more likely that deals can be had. And I know that's what Kansas City's hoping for as they try to rebuild and rebuild quickly as Dayton Moore wants to do, and potentially bring a guy like Eric Hosmer back. It worked out with Alex Gordon a year or so ago. Do you think it could work out again for the Royals with Eric Hosmer?
You know what? I'm not sure. The Royals do need to do a lot of things, but handcuff them was that Alex Gordon contract. I know he's Mr. Royal or whatever, but really put them in the hole. And Hosmer's a guy that's kind of the face of their franchise. I mean, for me, on a competitive level, I'd like to see Hosmer and Moustakas back with them. I think they're desperately needed there. But I got a feeling Hosmer is going to end up with the Padres. I saw that, re-signed for 2 years with
Mitch,
the Red Sox.
Mitch Moreland re-signed for 2 years, $13 million with the Red Sox.
That shouldn't stop the Red Sox from getting a Hosmer type, but...
But I feel like it might.
Yeah, no, that's...
Because you still have $22 million left on the Hanley Ramirez deal. So I don't... It might stop them from going into the Hosmer pool.
Yeah, no, it might, but it shouldn't. But I got a feeling the Padres are trying to put something together here, and they've been the ones on... with Eric Hosmer, and the fact that Will Myers can move back to the outfield and stuff... So we'll see. I mean, but the Royals, if you look at the team as currently consistent, it's like a minor league team.
It is.
If you look at the position players, it's no bueno, as I like to say.
They're going to have to sign somebody. It's crazy because they're still trying to unload contracts. You've heard that Danny Duffy's on the market for everybody, and Kelvin Herrera's on the market. They're like the Marlins. No one's talking about the Royals, but they're like the Marlins right now.
They don't have an infield. I mean, Whit Merrifield's like really the only returning
guy. He's good.
Guy.
Merrifield's good.
Yeah, no, yeah, he had a very good year. But I mean, the infield is only Whit Merrifield. The outfield is Gordon, Pablo Orlando, and Jorge Soler right now. I mean, that's not something you want to go in. So the Royals really, I mean, it's looking like a rough season ahead. And, you know, I hope to see them do something here, but I've, as a Royals fan, I wouldn't be too optimistic.
All right, so there you go. Not too optimistic on re-signing Eric Hosmer. What about a guy like Mike Moustakas, who we haven't heard any rumors about until late last night, where Buster Olney says, listen, I haven't heard anything. I'm just speculating. But is it possible that Moustakas is a fit at third base as Buster Olney for the New York Yankees on a one-year type of deal, $14, $15 million for that 1 year, goes back on the market next year, sees what's out there?
It's a perfect fit. I mean, that ballpark is tailor-made for Mike Moustakas. I just don't see him signing the one-year deal. I'd love to see him with the Mets. The Mets have a gaping hole at third base. David Wright's not coming back, let's be honest. And even if he did, he'd be a shell of the player he was. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm the Yankees, I'm very interested, and that's a guy I'm going to target.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's a good fit for them who have openings at second base and the third base position.
And they freed up, you know, like $13 million with Chase Headley. I know they took on the Stanton and all that, but it's the Yankees. They have all the money in the world.
There's a lot of money that's available for them. I know they want to stay under the 197 so they can reset the luxury tax and they go all out for a Bryce Harper and a Manny Machado next year. That's important to them. I don't think the 1 year and, say, $13 million, but same thing would have been cost for Chase Headley, will stop them from going after a guy like Mike Moustakas. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Get back into football. Go over Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston getting out of a bit of misery and performing quite well. We have a lot of headlines to get to, and we'll see what these guys think of some of the free agent pickups out there right now for your fantasy team during championship week. So, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.